Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
And joining us this week for a look at movies and television is CJ Johnson. CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. Thank you very, very much.
Great to have you in, as usual. Well, a couple of things. The long-awaited project by Martin Scorsese, The Irishman, is out in a couple of formats. This is the new world, after all. And Frozen 2, well, we know what we're going to get there, I guess. Let's start with The Irishman. This has been acclaimed as a masterpiece. You probably need a medal for sitting through it because it's very long.
There's so much to break down about The Irishman. Yes, it is long. It's 3.5 hours long, so it deserves our fair spotlight of attention. And you are dead right. It has been long awaited. And you are also dead right that this is the new world with the multiple formats. But also the reason it has been long awaited has to do with our new digital world. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. So the reason it's on multiple formats is there are some cinemas around the country that are still carrying it. The Dendy chain is still showing it on the big screen, but it has dropped on Netflix as well. It is a fully Netflix-funded film. Netflix paid the whole shebang, and I understand the whole shebang possibly was $200 million. This is a very expensive movie.
Why can you? I don't know whether you know the answer to this, but why, with a director of Martin Scorsese's stature, wouldn't people be queuing to fund a project by him?
$200 million.
That's too much.
it's a lot of money, and this is a film that he has made before. Now, before you ring or text or get angry, What I mean by that is, this film is very much in line with Goodfellas and Casino. In a way, this forms the end of a trilogy with those films. This is a film about the mob in America. And it stars all those guys. Robert De Niro has been in all three of them. He was in Goodfellas and he was in Casino. Mm-hmm. And now he's in this one. So there is a sense, although Martin Scorsese does movies about the mob in America starring Robert De Niro better than anyone else, and although, you know, that's his stock in trade and his specialty, we have had this film before. This is the most expensive version of it. And Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese and kind of everyone else in the film are men in their mid-70s. And so if you are juggling the figures and you do run a studio, you have to be careful. You have to wonder and say, am I going to recoup my investment? Because don't forget, when you're every dollar you spend when you're putting out a movie in the cinemas, you've got to double that amount to even imagine your return once you've factored in marketing and once you've factored in what the theaters take. Mm. So if I'm Warner Brothers and I spend $200 just to make the thing, I've got to make $400 million back before I start seeing profit. Mm-hmm. That's a big ask for a film by and about people in their mid to late 70s. You know, you can hit it, but it is a risky proposition. Whereas Netflix wants Scorsese. They want that kudos. Netflix desperately wants Oscars. They want that kind of kudos. And Martin Scorsese is the kind of person that delivers Oscars. So in a way, I understand it. Also, basically, Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese, who are the two primary producers of this film, wanted to do something very specific with this film, which gets into both the new digital realm and also why this film has taken so long to come out. Mm. They wanted to make this expansive film about this guy's life, a guy named Frank Sheeran, the titular Irishman of the title, played by Robert De Niro.
And he's an assassin.
He's an assassin.
He's a hired hitman.
Yeah, he's an assassin for the mob, and then he becomes the sort of assassin slash factotum slash general dog's body for Jimmy Hoffa. And then he, by being the servant of two masters for Jimmy Hoffa and the mob, when the mob and Jimmy Hoffa start finding themselves at odds with each other, he finds himself divided loyalty in between, and hence the drama. But they wanted to make a film that spanned this guy's life from when he's basically in his early 40s into his deep 70s, maybe even his early 80s, and they wanted Robert De Niro to play him the whole way. And they wanted Joe Pesci to play a character for a similar length of time, and a few other actors to play their characters for a similar length of time, including Al Pacino as Jimmy Hoffa. Mm-hmm. And so what they decided they wanted to do was, rather than hire young men to play the young versions of themselves, to digitally de-age them. So you've got Robert De Niro, who is 76, playing the 40-year-old version of himself.
What, not with makeup?
Not with makeup, with digital de-aging. Yeah. So his face has been digitally de-aged.
Whatever that means.
Well,
that's some whiz-bangery, is it?
Yes, and with mixed results, I have to say. And you actually can't review this film without reviewing the de-aging process, because it's not perfect.
It looks a bit odd.
I'll tell you how it really looks odd. For a start, yes, the faces do look a bit odd because they just look a bit smooth. Mm-hmm. They look a little bit like, I mean, it's funny we're reviewing this with Frozen 2 because on the one hand, you know, the art of making animated characters look real has come so far, and now we're digitally de-aging Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, and there's kind of a meeting in the middle. So they sort of look like the very best versions of animated characters have been brought to life. So there is a bit of the what they call the uncanny valley, and you notice it in a couple of ways. Like De Niro's eyes, when he's at his youngest, which is about 40, look a bit too bright and shiny. He looks a little bit like a video game character or a quote-unquote animated character. Mm-hmm. But this is where it really took me the most out of the movie. De Niro's still playing himself at 40, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's still walking around and occasionally running around. And at one point, he kicks a man when he's down because he's a mobster. But De Niro is 76. And so he's a 76-year-old body with this 40-year-old face on top of it. Okay. And like when he's kicking this guy, it's I mean this as a bit of a joke facetiously, but it's an old man's legs. You know, it's an old man's energy. He doesn't look like a virile 40-year-old man kicking someone. He looks like a 70, but he's 40. And so you notice it in the bodies. Mm. They're all walking around like they're 76-year-old selves, even when they're 40. And that's tricky. It's almost like they should have actually had other actors who had 40-year-old bodies standing in for them and then really just whacking their heads on top. But that's only the first act of the movie when they're that young. The second act of the movie, they're more like in their 50s and 60s. And then in the third act of the movie, they're in their 70s. So you only have to deal with it for the first act. But the first act is over an hour long because it's a 3.5-hour movie. Mm. So that gets that out of the way. So that's partially why we've been waiting so long. This film's been in the can, as they say, for well over a year and a half, but they've been doing this post-production on it to get the to do this digital de-aging. And it's a really big swing. So I think that's another reason Scorsese had to go to Netflix was it might have turned out to look really bad, and then it would have been a bad investment.
Is it a true story or an imagined story?
It's a true story according to this guy, Frank Sheeran. Right. So Frank Sheeran made essentially a deathbed confession to a lawyer/journalist when he was, I guess, about 80 and in this nursing home. And he gave this guy enough material for a book, but he said, you publish the book after I die. Mm-hmm. So then he died, and then the guy published the book. And the book has some astounding revelations because Jimmy Hoffa famously went missing.
That's right.
And the case has never been solved.
Okay. And so does this film solve it for
you? Yes. This book gives you Frank Sheeran's explanation for what happened.
What happened.
And that's kind of what the raison d'etre of this film is.
Okay, this is a little of The Irishman.
Is that your dress for a meeting?
And this is how you dress in Florida? In a suit?
For a meeting? Anywhere. Florida, Timbuktu, I dress in a suit. For a meeting. And you're late.
What?
You're late.
And it was traffic.
Yeah, it's traffic.
Wasn't it traffic?
Yeah, give me traffic.
It's traffic. What do you want from us? It was bumper to bumper.
Yeah, no. It's bad, you know. Traffic. I never waited for anyone who was late more than 10 minutes in my life.
I'd say 15. 15's right.
No, 10.
I don't think so. 10's not enough. You have to take traffic into account.
That's what I'm doing. I'm taking traffic into account. That's why it's 10.
I still say 15.
No, 10.
Fine, we disagree on that. Well,
how about 12 and a half minutes?
There we go. 12 and a half. In the middle. Beautiful.
Yeah, more than 10 is saying something. Are you saying something to me?
No, I'm here.
It says what it says.
This is Al Pacino's character, Jimmy Hoffa.
Al Pacino is so funny as
Jimmy
Hoffa.
And he's not pleased at being kept waiting for a meeting in Florida.
No, he is so good as Jimmy Hoffa. He doesn't enter the movie for about 45 minutes, but when he comes in, the movie just takes this uplift. Mm. And after a while, you start realizing, oh, I'm allowed to laugh. This is funny. Mm. And he plays Jimmy Hoffa funny, and the movie gets funnier. And for a long second act, it's really quite funny. But what you can hear in that clip, everyone knows what they're doing. This is schmick, you know, the craft on display, the acting, the scripting, the editing, the cinematography, the production design of this thing is immaculate beyond belief.
Okay.
This is masters at the top of their game. Most of them, not only Scorsese and his actors, but most of the crew, his editors, all his people are all people in their 70s who've been making movies for 50 years. You know, these are masters at the peak slash end, you know, doing this masterpiece in the old-fashioned term, you know, use of the word.
Well, all right, The Irishman. Now, Frozen 2, this is more of Frozen, is it?
Yeah, but it is, this is a bit surprising, this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my 5.5-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. who loves Frozen, and...
Of course she does.
Yeah, of course she does.
I mean, you'd have to be taking her to some sort of remedial help if she didn't like Frozen.
Yes.
Given that she is the target audience.
As the sun is hot and the fish live in the ocean, a 5.5-year-old girl loves
Frozen.
Is
going to like Frozen.
Yes. Yes, that's right. So I took her to a lovely media screening and she had a blast and I had a blast too. Have you ever seen Frozen?
No.
Frozen's good.
My girls were too old by the time it came out.
Yeah, and you have to wonder how Disney thinks about these things because... Do they think like, well, let's say there were girls who were 5 when they saw this. Do we now make this one for 11-year-olds or do we try and get new 5-year-olds? You know, where do we pitch this? And it's very difficult for a sequel to a movie that captured the hearts of young people because they can grow out of them. So, you know, you've got to know whether you go for a new audience or the same audience. And I think what they've kind of done is really allow their audience to grow up because this movie is wacky. Mm-hmm. This movie is not what I was expecting at all. Usually when there is a sequel, it is either a retread. So essentially you take the characters and put them through essentially a reheated version of the same events they went through the first time, or you do something else that is in some way expected, but this is really unexpected. They've gone into a strange and I think a fun, strange new direction. I think what they got was because it's based on Frozen is based on the Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen, and it allowed itself to borrow the exoticism of the Nordic countries and really in particular, I reckon Norway, without really, really, really addressing other stuff that existed in those places, particularly Norway. So they've really buttoned down here. They've gone to the Sami people of northern Norway, the indigenous people, and said, we want your input into this. We want to put a strong indigenous element into this. And we also want to talk about your particular folk traditions. And we also want to talk about the environment. So this film really doubles down on the sort of mystical or mysticism elements of the indigenous people of Norway and Finland. And it's quite... ephemeral and ethereal and magical for those reasons.
This is a scene, let's hear a bit. This is a scene where Anna, Olaf and Kristoff insist on joining Elsa on her dangerous quest.
Kristoff, can I borrow your wagon? And Sven?
Mm-hmm. I'm not very comfortable with the idea of that.
You are not going alone.
Anna? No, I have my powers to protect me. You don't.
Excuse me, I climbed the North Mountain, survived a frozen heart, and saved you from my ex-boyfriend, and I did it all without powers. So, you know, I'm coming.
Me too. I'll drive.
I'll bring the snacks!
I will look after your people.
Please make sure they stay out of the kingdom until we return.
Of course.
Let's let them know.
Anna, I am worried for her. We have always feared Elsa's powers were too much for this world. Now we must pray they are enough.
I won't let anything happen to her.
So the thing about the first Frozen was, rather than make it a traditional princess falls for a prince story, it was about two sisters and the men became sort of supplementary.
Yep.
And they doubled down on it in this one by making the only man, because it's the two sisters, a man and a snowman, go on an adventure. They make the only man, Kristoff, a blithering idiot. Every time he's on screen, that's when you can go to the bathroom.
Oh, well, it's time. The girls are having their time, I tell you.
Yep.
All right. Stars, The Irishman.
You've got to give it 4.5.
Okay.
Yep.
Not 5.
You know, no, because Goodfellas is 5. This is at 3.5, it's a little flabby. And if you're watching it on Netflix, there is no reason not to watch it in 2 parts.
2 nights, yeah.
Or even 3 parts, because it allows for that. You know, 3.5 is too long to sit one time.
All right, 4.5 stars for The Irishman. And Frozen 2?
3.5.
Hey, good solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, holiday fare.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, CJ.
Take care.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.